From the cop who assaulted an innocent driver for no reason to the corrupt officer who was given a dressing down by a teenager, you'd think these cops were auditioning for a new crime series. But no, folks, this is real life. Brace yourselves because we're about to witness some incredible instances of corrupt cops being caught on camera. Let's hope these officers have some explanation because they're about to get a one-way ticket to the not-so-glamorous side of justice. Taylor police officer caught roughing up driver. It was a seemingly ordinary day in April 2016 when 26-year-old motorist Calvin Jones found himself at the center of a traffic stop that would soon turn into a shocking display of police misconduct. The incident, caught on dashcam, would shed light on the dark undercurrents of corruption in the police system. The video begins as Jones' vehicle is pulled over by a police cruiser on a quiet street in Taylor. As the officer approaches the driver's side, he suddenly asks for his driver's license. However, instead of complying, Jones questions the reason for the stop. "Officer, how are you, sir? Do you have your driver's license, Jones?" "What's going on, officer? I'll be happy to tell you once I see who I'm talking to." "Okay, Jones. I need you to tell me what's going on. How is this happening, officer? Like I said, I'd be happy to tell you once I see the information, Jones. I'm not giving you my information." The officer, who still refused to explain the reason for stopping Jones, insisted on seeing his driver's license, even going so far as to utter a well-veiled threat. Over the next few minutes, the officer engages in a conversation with Jones, who now insists that his passenger, a woman, judging by her voice, understand what's happening on camera. "Officer, here's the deal. Either you give me your ID or you go to jail. How does that sound?" But put this on camera, man. Why aren't you dealing with this, Jones? I need to know why you're stopping me. Woman, in the car. Give me your ID. The officer comes on the radio and refers to Jones as an incooperative occupant. Frustration begins to mount as Jones steadfastly refuses to hand over his ID until he is informed of the reason for the stop. Tensions mount as the crowd's patience wears thin. "Officer, all right, open the door, Jones. You need to let me know what's going on." "Officer, you're going to jail. That's what's going on, Jones. Why weren't we charged?" In a shocking turn of events, the officer breaks a window with the assistance of three other officers. They proceed to extract Jones from his car, using excessive force to subdue him. During this violent arrest, Jones loses consciousness after being placed in a chokehold. The incident raises serious questions about the public's response and whether it is justified given the circumstances. The aftermath of the arrest revealed other disturbing details. Jones' wife, who was present during the incident, was also arrested, raising questions about the arrest of someone attempting to cooperate with police. Jones himself reported mistreatment during his arrest, highlighting potential violations of his rights. The dismissal of charges against Jones and his wife, followed by the involvement of the ACLU and the filing of a complaint, led to a thorough investigation into the incident. Taylor's police chief assured the public that the case would be looked into diligently and promised that those involved would be held accountable. Johannesburg officer caught demanding bribe. Here's the shocking truth behind a corrupt Johannesburg cop's video. This astonishing footage that has gone viral reveals how a police officer bribes a driver. The story begins with the driver driving through the city on his way home from a long day at work. Little did he know that this routine trip would soon take an unexpected and harrowing turn. Unbeknownst to the driver, he had caught the attention of a corrupt police officer whose intentions were far from upholding the law. The officer, whose identity is being kept secret, supposedly pulled the driver over for drunk driving. However, it soon became clear that this was not about enforcing the law, but about personal gain. When the driver pulled over to the side of the road, the officer began questioning him, accusing him of driving under the influence. Despite his protestations of innocence, the officer stuck to his accusations, determined to exploit the situation for his own benefit. It was at that point that the passenger in the driver's vehicle, a quick-thinking individual who recognized the gravity of the situation, decided to take matters into his own hands. Armed with a smartphone, he began discreetly recording the encounter, capturing every word and action that occurred. "Officer, can we go check it out, driver?"
"Are you going to check it out, officer?"
"But I told you, driver, what other choice do I have?" "What other choice do I have?" As the recording continued, the officer's true intentions began to surface. In a shocking turn of events, the officer brazenly demanded a bribe from the driver, demanding a sum of 200 rupees in exchange for turning a blind eye to the alleged traffic violation.
"Officer, your choice is this. We can talk about it now. Just 200 rupees and you're leaving because that guy can see. You're drunk. There's no more to talk about because you're leaving."
The audacity of this demand left both the driver and the passenger stunned. Their faith in the integrity of law enforcement shattered. Shocked by the blatant corruption of the people, the driver mustered up the courage and asked for his license plate number in the hopes of holding him accountable for his actions. The passenger, realizing the power of the evidence he had captured, informed the people that their encounter was being recorded. However, the officer, fully aware of the potential consequences, callously refused to provide any form of identification, further cementing his position as a corrupt cop. It was at that critical moment that people's worlds came crashing down around them. However, the driver's resolve remained unwavering, fueled by his will to expose people's misconduct. With the footage released online as irrefutable evidence, the Johannesburg Metro Police Department, JMPD, was made aware of what had transpired and vowed that justice would be served and that this corrupt officer would face the consequences for his actions. Teenager captures corrupt cop arresting his father. It was September 29, 2019, when officers from the Park City Police Department received a call regarding a heated argument at Spalding Court and Rocket Club Drive. Responding to the report, officers arrived on the scene to find two men engaged in a heated argument. The argument centered around two teenagers, including Jack Franchek, who were riding their gas-powered bicycles down the street. One of the men involved in the argument approached officers and stated that he had been in a dispute with Michael Franchek, Jack's father. This individual alleged that Franchek had become confrontational and aggressive during their interaction. To escalate the situation, a woman who witnessed the argument informed officers that she had seen a handgun in Franchek's possession as he walked away from the altercation. Using the information provided by the witnesses, officers decided to locate Michael Franchek's residence and make contact with him. Their intention was to address the situation and ensure the safety of all parties involved. When officers arrived at Michael Franchek's porch, he came out prepared with his cell phone recording what was happening, almost as if he had an inkling that the situation would escalate.
"Michael, can I help you?"
"Officer, hello, is this Michael?"
"Michael, hello, can I help you with anything?"
"Officer, yes, we're here about a Michael."
"His name, officer?"
"Officer, Rodriguez."
"Michael."
"Officer's name?"
"Jim."
"Michael,
Jim, how are you, Jim?"
"Michael."
"Your name, officer?"
"Inaudible, Michael."
"Badge number?" Once formalities were exchanged, the officers proceeded to question him about the argument. Their goal was to escalate the situation and gather more information about the alleged firearm. However, their encounter took an unexpected turn when Franchek, refusing to respond, made the sudden decision to run inside his home.
"Officer, let's talk about the incident that happened here a few minutes ago."
"I don't know what you're talking about, officer."
"Okay, come down for a moment."
"Yes, no, no."
Franchek's attempt to evade the officers and retreat into his home caught them off guard. The officers forced their way into his home without a search warrant and attempted to arrest him.
"I didn't do anything, they simply entered my home without a warrant."
"Officer, are you fleeing?"
"No, I'm fleeing, officer."
"You just did it. You have a gun in your back pocket."
"I just want to make sure we're safe."
"We're safe, officer."
"Okay."
Despite Michael's constant assurances that he wasn't carrying a weapon, the officers ignored him as they tased him, trying to get him out of the house. Play 015-021. That's when he yelled at his son Jack, who started recording what was happening.
and for some reason this seemed to make them even angrier and they tried to grab his phone.
"Officer, stop resisting, Michael."
"I'm not resisting, I'm not resisting, Jack."
"Hey, no, don't take his phone, don't take his phone, don't take his phone."
Things started to escalate when another officer tried to intimidate Jack into not approaching his father. When the young man didn't budge, they decided that he had to be taken into custody, but Jack wasn't having any of it. One of the officers, whose body camera was dropped in the house, went back after him, even though he had no right to enter. As Jack followed him, he began to threaten the teen. The agents knew they had nothing on him, so they decided to bring up the legality of riding a gas-powered bike without a license. But Jack proved once again that he was no pushover. Seeing that they couldn't get any dirt on the teen, they took Franchique to be booked into the Sumitomo County Jail, where the officer was caught stealing court documents. As we delve into the shocking events that unfolded in the Maricopa County courtroom, we find ourselves transported back to October 19, 2009. Defense attorney Joan Cuccia, a seasoned legal professional, appeared before Judge Lisa Flores to argue the case of Antonio Lozano, a defendant who would soon find himself entangled in a web of corruption. Cuccia, known for her tenacity and dedication to her clients, had achieved a favorable outcome for Lozano and was now passionately advocating for a lenient sentence. Little did he know that his quest for justice would be marred by the actions of Maricopa County Detention Officer Adam Stoddard. As the courtroom's video system silently recorded the proceedings, Stoddard, an authority figure responsible for maintaining order and security, brazenly approached the defense attorney's table. In a calculated move, he positioned himself next to Cuccia, seemingly innocuous at first glance. However, the camera caught his eyes straying to a file on the table, his gaze fixed on it for several long seconds. Then, in a show of audacity, Stoddard surreptitiously reached out and retrieved a document from the file. With a sense of urgency, he examined it for an additional period of time, his eyes scanning for the words that would forever change the course of this legal drama. Without hesitation, he passed the document to another officer, Deputy Francisco Campillo, who stood directly behind Cuccia, completely oblivious to the unfolding conspiracy. Stoddard's justification for his actions would later cause a stir in the legal community. He claimed to have seen an inch or two of the document in plain view, where the words "go rob" and "money" appeared in the same paragraph. In a twisted interpretation, he believed the document described a crime about to be committed. To further fuel his suspicions, Stoddard cited past cases involving attorneys Jason Keller and David DaCosta, who had been accused of trafficking drugs for Mexican mafia clients while in prison. Unbeknownst to Stoddard, his actions had not gone unnoticed. Cuccia, a fervent advocate for justice, quickly filed a motion to hold Stoddard and Campillo in contempt of court. The motion went to Superior Court Judge Gary Donajo, who meticulously reviewed the evidence and weighed the gravity of the situation. In a landmark ruling, Judge Donajo found that Campillo, although he had participated in the photocopying of the document, had not been in contempt, as he had merely complied with a colleague's request. However, the USC did not extend the same leniency to Stoddard, finding him in indirect civil contempt. The USC and USC Donajo issued a final order. Stoddard was to hold a press conference no later than November 30, 2009, and to offer a sincere verbal and written apology to Cuccia. The judge stressed that Cuccia had done nothing wrong and that Stoddard's statement to the press, linking her to lawyers accused of drug smuggling, had tarnished her professional reputation. But Stoddard, defiant and unyielding, refused to comply with the contempt order. "I cannot and will not apologize for putting the safety of the courtroom first." In a bold statement, Stoddard proclaimed that she did not regret what she had done. He believed Judge Donahoe had ordered them to feel something they didn't feel and say something they couldn't. He found himself caught between lying and incarceration and chose the latter. With unwavering determination, Stoddard reported to jail, where he would spend the next 10 days. Cop caught stealing $300 from construction worker as the sun set over the vibrant streets of Coney Island, a routine encounter between police and a construction worker took a sinister turn. Lamar Joy, a Brooklyn construction worker, found himself at the center of a shocking incident that would forever change his perception of law enforcement. It all began when the NYPD received a radio call about a gunman in the area. Responding to the call, officers approached Joyce, who coincidentally matched the description of the suspect. What should have been standard procedure quickly turned into a terrifying experience. When officers attempted to arrest Joy's friend, he instinctively resisted, questioning the legitimacy of their actions. Little did he know that his decision to speak out would have dire consequences. Seeing what was happening, Joy himself decided to intervene on his friend's behalf, questioning the officer's actions. In a disturbing turn of events, an officer forcefully slammed Joy against a nearby fence, subjecting him to an unnecessary display of aggression. You see this, give me my man. Give me my money. Give me my money. He just stole his money. He just stole his money. With Joy pinned against the fence, the officer proceeded to pat him down, seemingly searching for the alleged weapon. However, what happened next shocked the world. In a brazen act of theft, the officer reached into Yo's pocket and withdrew a significant amount of cash. Video footage captured this shocking act, leaving onlookers speechless, but people's actions didn't stop there. In a display of excessive force, he pepper sprayed a writhing Joy, who became disoriented as she attempted to retrieve her money. The officer quickly retreated from the scene, leaving a trail of chaos and confusion in his wake. Adding insult to injury, Joy's sister, who had witnessed her brother's unfair treatment, bravely stepped forward to demand the police officer's license plate number. In a cruel twist of fate, she too was the victim of the police officer's abuse of power, who cruelly pepper sprayed her without hesitation. The aftermath of this harrowing encounter left Joy and her sister traumatized and distraught. Yo's attorney has alleged that the officer not only robbed her of over $300 in cash, but also failed to return it. The NYPD, for its part, claims to have found only $62 and a cell phone belonging to Joy, both of which were accounted for at the police station. It is important to note that Joy had withdrawn the money to celebrate her birthday. A joyous occasion was cruelly overshadowed by this incident. Due to the traumatic experience, he was unable to pick up the money or call the police station, making him yet another victim of the very institution that was supposed to protect him. This shocking encounter ignited a firestorm of outrage throughout the Brooklyn community and beyond. The blatant abuse of power and alleged theft by an NYPD officer shattered the trust between law enforcement and the people they are sworn to serve. As the story unfolded, the demand for justice grew louder, with Yo's attorney demanding the return of the stolen money and a thorough investigation into the officers involved. Florida officer caught planting drugs. Officer Zachary Wester was caught red-handed planting drugs on unsuspecting drivers during routine traffic stops. The scandal, which unfolded between 2016 and 2018, has forced prosecutors to drop charges in nearly 12 cases, highlighting the extent of Wester's deceit. Body cam footage presented during the trial shows Wester surreptitiously placing baggies full of drugs before conducting searches. The motive for his actions remains unknown, but prosecutors suspect he may have been driven by his desire to join the narcotics division. Our story begins with Zachary Wester, a former Jackson County Sheriff's deputy in Florida. Wester, then just 28 years old, was entrusted with the responsibility of enforcing the law and protecting the community. Little did anyone know that a sinister plot was unfolding behind his badge. Between 2016 and 2018, Wester embarked on a streak of misconduct that would shake the foundations of the criminal justice system. During routine traffic stops, he would plant drugs on unsuspecting drivers, fabricating evidence to secure arrests and convictions. Wester was searching the baseball bat and then searched that immediate area for weapons and picked up the baseball glove and there was a baggie in the straw. Are you going to jail, buddy? I'm going to jail. I didn't do anything. In another case, Wester was seen about to arrest a man after finding a baggie in his car. Wester, you don't know what that looks like, man, or maybe meth or cocaine, Wester. Okay, I've never seen that in my life. But how did Wester manage to get away with it for so long? The answer lies in the body cam footage that ultimately exposed Wester's deception. Investigators, suspicious of his actions, meticulously analyzed more than 13 minutes of video footage looking for any evidence of foul play. What they uncovered was chilling. In the footage, Wester is seen conducting traffic stops with an air of authority and professionalism, but beneath his calm demeanor, a sinister plan unfolded. He surreptitiously holds bags full of drugs, ready to be planted on unsuspecting drivers. In a swift, calculated move, he would plant the drugs in their vehicles, ensuring that his victims would face serious criminal charges. As the number of arrests and convictions mounted, so did questions surrounding Wester's conduct. Innocent people faced life-changing consequences. Their reputations were tarnished and their lives were turned upside down. But it wasn't until the evidence mounted and the courage of those affected did the truth begin to emerge. Teresa Odom, one of Wester's victims, bravely came forward to share her harrowing experience. Arrested and convicted after Wester planted methamphetamine in her car, Odom's life was forever changed. "Odom, is that yogurt, Mr. Wester?"
"I know."
"Okay, Odom, it's yogurt, Wester. How about this?"
"Odom, that's not mine."
"No, Mr. Wester."
"Okay, I'm not going to ask you anything."
"Odom."
"No, Mr. Wester, I'm not going to ask you any direct questions. I'm going to read you your rights first, okay?"
In May, Wester was found guilty of 19 counts, including racketeering, official misconduct, tampering with evidence, perjury, false imprisonment, and possession of a controlled substance and drug paraphernalia. He was sentenced to more than 12 years in prison. The verdict shocked the law enforcement community and offered a glimmer of hope to those who had been wronged. Miami officer, arrest people without reason. On November 4, 2022, two men identified as Rafael Antonio Gomez Osorio, also known as Ragamonkey, and Joey, were filming when they encountered Miami police officer Heredia Rubio. Little did they know that their encounter would expose a disturbing abuse of power. On that fateful day, auditors Rafael Gomez and Joey set out on a mission to document police interactions. Armed with their cameras, they were determined to shed light on any potential misconduct and hold law enforcement accountable. As they walked through the bustling streets of Miami, Rafael and Joey noticed a patrol car parked off to the side. Curious, they decided to go over and see what was going on. As Rafael and Joey approached the police car, they saw Officer Heredia Rubio sitting inside. As the auditors continued filming, one of them pointed out Officer Rubio was blocking traffic, but the officer insisted that he was just doing his job.
"Man, you're blocking traffic, Mr. Rubio."
"I'm doing my job, man."
"Okay, we didn't say anything, Mr. Rubio, since you're here, man."
"We didn't say anything, Rubio."
"Okay, I'll tell you now. Since you're here, I want to see your IDs."
"Man, what's a joke, Rubio? No, it's not."
The auditors were surprised by Officer Heredia Rubio's sudden demand for identification.
"Man, you can call your sergeant."
"Rubio, both IDs."
"Man, I don't have an ID."
"Rubio, I need an ID.
I'm going to call my sergeant when I get your ID."
"Man, I don't have an ID."
"Rubio."
"Okay, then put your hands there."
"It's a lawful order, Rubio."
"It is, man."
"How is it lawful, Rubio? Because I'm talking to you."
They knew their rights and understood that filming in a public place was protected by the First Amendment. Rafael and Joey stood their ground and refused to comply with Officer Heredia Rubio's unlawful request. Despite the men clearly asserting their rights, Officer Heredia Rubio proceeded to handcuff them and detain them in the back of his patrol car.
"Man, what are you doing, Rubio?
Right there.
What's your name and badge number?
Don't break me.
What are you doing?"
They were shocked and confused, unsure of what they had done to deserve such treatment. Officer Heredia Rubio's actions were not only unjust, but also a violation of their constitutional rights. Officer Heredia Rubio claimed that he had handcuffed both men and detained them for their safety. However, it was clear that his actions went beyond what was necessary to ensure his own well-being. Joey and Rafael clearly posed no threat to Officer Heredia Rubio, and there was no indication that they intended to flee or cause harm. Ultimately, Officer Rubio revealed that he had arrested and detained them simply because he wanted to. The auditor's encounter with Officer Geradia Rubio raises serious legal questions. Even if there were reasonable suspicion to arrest them, Officer Geradia Rubio's use of handcuffs and the prolonged detention in the back of her vehicle exceeded what was reasonably necessary. This raises the possibility that the detention amounted to a de facto arrest, violating their Fourth Amendment rights. Arlington police officer holds woman at gunpoint. In Arlington, a young black woman named Danielle Shanks found herself at the center of a terrifying encounter with the Arlington Police Department, PD. In a case of mistaken identity, police held her at gunpoint and even attempted to erase surveillance footage. It all started when Danielle Shanks, an innocent young woman, found herself in a terrifying situation. Police were searching for a black suspect, but in a case of mistaken identity, they pointed the gun at Danielle instead. They pulled their guns, and the situation escalated quickly. Danielle, so this is a learning curve for you. Putting guns in the back of an innocent person. That's a learning curve, officer. I'm not saying that every curve has something to learn from. That's a learning curve. You put a gun in my back, and that's a learning curve for you. In the footage shown, Danielle can be heard speaking in a shaky voice about how the officer had put the gun in his back, only to be met with a dismissive response. The female officer in the video could be heard telling Danielle that it was a learning curve. The police admitted they were looking for a man, but they pulled their guns on Danielle, a young black woman, and to make matters worse, they had the audacity to call it a learning curve. With guns pointed at his back, Daniel's life hung in the balance and it was considered a miracle that he survived, but his complaints were dismissed. You put guns in my back. That's a learning curve. I could have died, and that's a learning curve for you. They put guns in my back. This was my life. And you want to talk about education? The lack of humanity and common ground displayed by the officers involved was evident. As if that weren't enough, the officers attempted to erase the surveillance footage that served as evidence of how they had mishandled the situation. Danielle, why are you erasing the surveillance video, officer? Ma'am, I can't elaborate on our investigation any further. Danielle, why are you erasing the official surveillance video? Careful, I'm not erasing it. Danielle, I just heard you say, until you finish deleting the official surveillance video. You misheard. Surprisingly, this incident was not addressed by local news or the police department. Everyone who watched the video online concluded that the lack of accountability and transparency surrounding this case was deeply troubling. A highway patrol officer caught speeding. In an outrageous display of corruption and hypocrisy, a patrol officer is about to learn a valuable lesson from an unexpected source. As the sun beats down on the highway, two teenage boys are riding in their car, unaware that a life-changing encounter awaits them. Little did they know that their journey would take an unexpected turn, leading them into a confrontation with a patrol officer that would make them question the very structure of justice. Suddenly, flashing lights appeared in their rearview mirror, signaling them to pull over. The driver, a young man, complied and pulled over to the side of the road. The patrolman approached the vehicle with an air of authority and wasted no time in getting to the point. I pulled you over for speeding, he said bluntly, his voice commanding. This is a speeding ticket, 80 and 55. I need to get the tint off your windows. I just need you to sign this white box. Confusion crossed the face of the young woman sitting in the passenger seat. She didn't understand how they could get a speeding ticket when they had been following the patrol officer and their lights weren't on. I have a quick question. How are we going to get a speeding ticket if we were following you and your lights weren't on? She looked to stumble for an answer, searching for a plausible explanation to justify her actions. Officer, because I was trying to catch up to someone. And why were you following me, girl? I'm saying you were in front of us and your lights weren't on, so we were going your speed. So how are we going to get a ticket? To understand her defense, it's important to know that most states require police officers not to speed without their flashing lights on or their sirens blaring. While these rules may differ from state to state, the using flashing lights when speeding is to indicate an emergency. Although it may seem counterintuitive, there is some legal basis for people's response that they were trying to overtake someone. If the trooper was truly trying to overtake another vehicle, they would have no reason to have their lights and flashers on. However, if they were simply driving over the speed limit without a valid reason, they would be breaking state law and acting like a hypocrite. It's worth noting that law enforcement departments and state highway patrol agencies generally encourage their officers to use their flashing lights whenever they are speeding. This serves multiple purposes, including alerting other drivers to the presence of an emergency vehicle and ensuring the safety of both the officer and the public. By using their flashing lights, officers can minimize the risk of accidents and maintain their reputation as law enforcement officers. This means that if Officer Johnson were driving on the highway at 80 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone without a valid reason, he would in fact be doing so. Breaking state laws and acting like a hypocrite. The encounter between the trooper and the teens that was posted online sheds light on the need for law enforcement to be held accountable. Warren cop caught assaulting inmate. Finally, we delve into the events leading up to the grisly assault of an inmate by a corrupt Warren cop. It all began when a 19-year-old Detroit man found himself in the clutches of the law, arrested for the heinous crimes of car theft and being a felon in possession. On that fateful day, the young man was taken to the booking area of the city jail, where he was met by Officer Matthew Rodriguez, a veteran of the Warren Police Department. The atmosphere was tense as the weight of the charges hung in the air. No one knew that the encounter would take a dark and violent turn. The exact words exchanged between the young man and Officer Rodriguez remain a mystery, lost in the absence of audio from the video footage. But something went horribly wrong. Setting off a chain of events that would forever tarnish the reputation of law enforcement. In an act of sheer brutality, the aggressive Rodriguez unleashed a sudden and unprovoked assault on the defenseless inmate. Video footage captured by surveillance cameras reveals the shocking moment when Rodriguez's fist connects with the young man's head, sending him reeling. The force of the blow is enough to knock the victim to the ground, but the assault does not end there. With a disturbing lack of remorse, Rodriguez continues his assault, delivering blow after blow to the defenseless inmate after knocking him to the ground. Each punch lands with sickening force, leaving no doubt as to the intent to cause harm. The victim's head slams against the floor, further compounding the brutality of the attack. As the assault unfolds, two other officers who had entered the room attempt to get the aggressive Rodriguez to stop. But their feeble attempt to intervene falls on deaf ears as the Rodriguez's anger continued to fuel the assault. Adding to the gravity of the situation, it is revealed that Officer Rodriguez did not have his body camera on, a clear violation of protocol. This omission raises questions about the public's intentions and further erodes the trust that should exist between law enforcement and the community they serve. Rodriguez was later seen dragging the inmate and throwing him into a cell. Video footage released by the Warren Police Department sends shockwaves through the community, leaving citizens outraged and demanding justice. The police department's internal investigation quickly recommends criminal charges be filed against Rodriguez, recognizing the seriousness of his actions. However, the repercussions of this assault extend beyond the immediate incident. The reputation of law enforcement officers, whose mission is to serve and protect, is tarnished by the actions of a corrupt cop. The community questions the integrity of law enforcement. As the investigation unfolds, Officer Rodriguez faces two misdemeanor charges. A consequence that some may consider lenient given the brutality of the assault. However, it is important to understand the legal requirements for proving a crime of assault that require the use of a weapon or the infliction of serious injury, neither of which are present in this case. Nonetheless, the gravity of Officer Rodriguez's actions cannot be overstated. Assaulting an inmate within the confines of a police station raises troubling questions about the mindset of the public and the potential for abuse of power within the law enforcement system. With the actions of these officers, they quickly went from being the good guys in blue to the booed. If you want to see more incredible videos like this, click on the cards that appear on your screen right now.